Amen. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Entitled this message, The Gospel in Disguise. The Gospel in Disguise. Now here in this chapter we have the history of Jacob and Rebekah's deception of Isaac in trying to steal the blessing or trying to get the blessing that belonged to Esau. Now, I've got 3 points here. First of all, a blessing purposed. A blessing purposed. Then we're going to see a blessing by provision. The provision of the blessing. And then we're going to see the application of this blessing. First of all, a blessing that was purposed. Now, you remember before these children were born that they were in the womb of the mother, Rebekah, and the Lord in sovereign election chose Jacob. He chose Jacob. He loved Jacob and despised, hated Esau. And in Genesis 25:23, the Lord declares that there were two nations in her womb. Two manner of people that shall be separated from her bowels, and the one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So what is this? It is a purposed blessing intended for Jacob. Now we know this, according to that Jacob is a picture, he is a type of every elect person. We can read that in Romans chapter 9. I won't take the time to go there, but we know this, that this is a God purpose, these two in the womb of their mother to set forth the precedent of sovereign election. He said that the purpose of God according to election might stand. And so Jacob was chosen. He was loved of God. And Esau was hated. So Jacob pictures the whole church of Christ. As God promised that he should rule over his brother, that he should be receive the blessing of his father Abraham. And so we see these are all the saints of God, the sheep of Christ that were given to him. And it was for these that Christ came and died. It was for these elect that Christ rose again. And it is the elect that Jesus Christ will send His Spirit to save. But you know that Esau is a picture of all those hated of God. Those that God leaves to themselves. And so Jacob was loved. He was chosen of God to receive this blessing, this birthright, this promise, by which he would be the head of his whole family and the rightful heir of the covenant promises. But I want you to see there's a problem with this. God promised that Jacob should be the heir, that Jacob should be the one to inherit the blessings. But notice that everything seemed contrary to the promise. Look at chapter 25. Look at chapter 25 and verse 28. And notice there's something that's contrary to this. In chapter 25 and verse 28. Notice this. And Isaac loved who? Who did Isaac love? Well, it wasn't Jacob. Isaac loved Esau. Because he did eat of the venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Consider the rebellion now of Isaac. The Lord had told his wife this truth, that he loved Jacob, that he loved the younger, that he was going to bless the younger. And so this was conveyed to Isaac, and yet Isaac, because of his love for deer meat, But I, Esau was a manly man. He was one that his father could relate to. He was a man that loved the field. And so this was... Jacob was a mama's boy. He was a mama's boy. His father didn't like that. He wasn't a manly man. And yet, so this is contrary. So notice the rebellion of Isaac towards the Word of God. That because of his appetite, he would love Esau. Therefore, you understand now why. I mean, there's a lot. When I read commentaries about this, you're always hearing about the sin of Rebekah and Jacob. And that's true. What they did was a sin. It was deception. You can't cover it over. But consider who put her in this situation was Isaac. Because he would not bless Jacob. You're going to read this in just a minute in our text. He's getting ready to die and he's determined to bless Esau in spite of what God had said. So everything seems to be like going against the promise of God in this. Therefore, what's the result here? Well, Rebekah, in love for Jacob and possibly for her love for the Word of God, she goes in league with Jacob in order to help fulfill the promise of God. Is this something new? No, remember Abraham tried to do that too. So they try to do this. They try by this deception to help fulfill the promise of God. And if you remember, Jacob already did this when he bought that birthright. You remember, he wanted the birthright and his brother's sitting there starving and he's got a bowl of soup. How evil is that? You let your brother starve just to get that birthright. But he did. And so by deception, he got the birthright. But now, so Rebekah now is involved and tries to help the promises of God. So in this text, Isaac is about to die, and he's desired to bless Esau, so Rebekah goes and gets Jacob. And they formulate a plan. She formulates a plan by which Jacob should receive the blessing instead of Esau. Now, I want you... This has been on my mind as I read this. This is a lesson here, a very important lesson for us. In this example, though God used their scheming, and He did, He eventually used this scheme to fulfill His purpose. But God does not need us to scheme or deceive or to manipulate in order to fulfill His purpose. Here's the purpose of God. His purpose is to save His people from their sins. Is that not His purpose? Is there anyone that He chose in eternity that Christ died for that shall miss this salvation? No. But we know this, that God has determined the means by which He will save His people. What is it? Preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen to save His people. But if you'll notice what has happened over the years, and churches scheme to get people in to hear the gospel. I remember when I was a kid. Every week during the summer, my neighbors would invite me to a church pizza party. Now, I love pizza. I love pizza, and I went every time they had pizza. And what were they having pizza for? Did they want to feed the hungry? Is that what they were trying to do? Now that's a good, noble thing. If you're trying to feed the hungry, put out some pizza. Feed the hungry. That's not what they were trying to do. They were trying to manipulate the children to get them into the place so they can help out God and get His people saved. That's not for us, friends. I'm not here to entice the flesh to get people to hear the gospel. That is manipulation. That's deception. That's deception. We're to use every means that we have to preach the gospel. Absolutely. Every opportunity we get, preach the word. But we're never to scheme and manipulate. I'll give you an illustration of this in real life. There was a man that I didn't personally, I was a young kid, so I went to these pizza parties, so I knew it was in that church that I was going to. There was a man in that church who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed the gospel of His grace. He believed it. But what he intended to do was to stay in the church and infiltrate the church. And so Sunday after Sunday, he would listen to that false gospel, nod his head, and then when everybody left, he'd take a group of people over here and preach the gospel to them. Now that is underhanded, friend. That is deceptive. Now I want you to see this, because there were two young people in that little group that he took aside, the Lord saved. They heard the gospel. They heard what this man was saying, and they heard the gospel. And as soon as they believed the gospel, you know what they did? They left. They could not tolerate that false gospel. They left. And they stayed at Lincolnwood, the church that I grew up in, the rest of their days, hearing the gospel. But you know what happened to that man? He stayed in that false church. He constantly acknowledged, constantly manipulated. Do you think he was happy sitting there having to listen to that garbage every Sunday? No, he made himself miserable by doing it. Listen, sin is not without consequence. In this history, Jacob was forced to leave his home and flee for his life. Because of what they did, Rebekah never saw her son again. So don't think their sin was not without consequence, even though it did fulfill the will of God, the purpose of God. And so that's a lesson for us not to try to manipulate. This isn't it's a shining example of how we're to do things. But now let us see this. I want to now look at this. This blessing was intended for Jacob. Everything seemed to be going contrary to it. Now then, they've set a scheme to manipulate, which was evil. It was a sin. But I want you to see something else that was against the promise of God. Is this, that Jacob had no natural right to it. He had no natural right to the blessing. The firstborn had a natural right to the blessing. But Jacob, being second, had no natural right to it. And so now Jacob, by birth, had no right to this blessing. Only the firstborn. But see, what Jacob did in deception, and to get the blessing, I want you to know this. God gives His people the blessing righteously, justly, though we, like Jacob, had no right to it. You see the picture? We had no right to it. Naturally, we have no right to the blessing of God. But only are going to receive it because God purposed that we should have it. That's the only reason Jacob got it. But God doesn't do it unjustly. God does it justly and in righteousness. So then in the text here, we're going to see this, that Isaac is a picture of the Father in this text. Isaac, who dispenses the blessing, is a picture of God the Father. And I want you to look at this. Now, go read this text with me. And it came to pass as when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son," he said, "behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out into the field, and take me some venison and make that savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat and that my soul may bless thee before I die. I want you to see this about the Father. This picture here. You know, a deer is, according to the law, is an unclean animal. Even so does God require the death of every unclean man. As He sent him out to kill that unclean animal. Even so, I want you to know this, God will, by justice, demands the death of every guilty sinner. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Sinners see that God's justice and anger, though slow, are sure. It is sure. God, who cannot and will not excuse sin, must in holy justice destroy every sinful soul. And I know this, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and returns again, He is going to take vengeance on all those who are outside of Him. All those who are outside of Christ, He will take holy vengeance. And I know this, that kind of message will never resonate unless the Spirit of God convicts man of sin. But seeing that God must punish sin, was not Jacob also a sinner? Was he not the same and like unto Esau his brother? Was he not born of the same fallen race? Yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. They are altogether become unprofitable. Isaiah said, from the sole of our foot to the crown of our head is nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. So then, the question is, how shall Jacob receive the blessing? How shall Jacob receive the blessing who by nature had no right to it? Who was truly the same as Esau? How shall he inherit the blessing of God and be accepted? Well, the answer to that is in the preparation for the blessing. You see, God purposed that Jacob should have the blessing. Now, by this scheme, we are going to see how he should receive the blessing. There was a preparation made. And so herein is the gospel. Look at this now. So you see, he intends to bless Esau. He sends him out. Rebekah hears this in verse 5. And then what does she do? In verse 6, And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me the venison and make me the savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make the savory meat for thy father, which such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Now behold the picture. Behold the picture of the righteousness and death of the Lord Jesus Christ is by these 2 goats. The provision by which Jacob may enter into the presence of Isaac and receive the blessing is by the preparation of these 2 goats. The goats were intended for 2 purposes. For meat and covering. For meat and covering. And so then the first goat was to be killed so as to make the stew, the meat that would satisfy Jacob. Now listen, Isaac would have never blessed Jacob had he not brought the stew. Had he not brought the stew, he knew he wouldn't be, he wasn't, it's not Esau. Esau would have brought me the stew.
And so, in order to be blessed, he had to have it. It was necessary.
Listen, even so, the only thing that has ever satisfied the justice of God for the sins of Jacob is the death of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that would satisfy the justice of God. Sinners see that no one then can approach unto God except he be holy as God. It's important. We are all going to approach before God. And the only hope for us is that we are as holy as God. Except our sins be paid. Except our sins be ransomed. Except our sins be redeemed. Except the justice of God be satisfied. We would never receive the blessing. Never. Therefore, for Jacob, as for the elect, Jesus Christ was taken from among the flock, wasn't he? He was taken from among men. He was to be made flesh so as to do the will of the Father in the flesh, which was what? To lay down his life for the sheep. Consider him. These goats picture him. And without his death, we would never receive the blessing. Therefore, our Lord Jesus, in love for us, came into this world and laid down his life. He laid down his life, not for everyone, for the sheep, for Jacob. He made his soul an offering for sin, and by his blood he did satisfy the justice and wrath of God against our sins. Behold, Jesus Christ was made of a woman, made under the law, that he should redeem us from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse. That he was to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. They sing this sometimes, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. See him dying on the tree. 'Tis Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. Tell me, you who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? It says, many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save, but the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. You see, Christ was our faithful high priest. He was our faithful sacrifice. So the only way for us to receive the appointed blessing is that he should lay down his life to satisfy the justice of God. And by his one offering, he did just that. He satisfied. You know, when Jacob ate this stew, he said, man, that's good. Man, that satisfied my soul. How much more is God satisfied with the offering of Jesus? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at this with me. See what Christ's death obtained. Look at Hebrews 9. Look at verse 11. It says, but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood entered in. How many times? How many times did he enter in? Once. And what did he get? He obtained eternal redemption. He got it. That's what it means. He got it. We needed what? Redemption. What did he get? Redemption.
What kind?
Eternal. The best kind.
Those bulls and goats never obtained any redemption. They had to keep offering them. But he did this once, and he obtained eternal redemption.
Look at this in verse 26. He said, "For then must he suffer since the foundation of the world." He's like those other goats and bulls. He said, "Man, he's got to suffer forever."
But now, how many times? Once. In the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed to men once to die, and after this to judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Behold, Jesus Christ is pictured by this goat so that Jacob might enter in and be accepted.
But notice Jacob's objection now. He's got an objection to this. He said, "That's good. I need the meat. But there's something else wrong here, Mama. Something else is stopping me from going in."
Look at this in verse 11.
"And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother," here's a problem, "behold," look at me, "behold, Esau, my brother, he's a hairy man. But I am a smooth man. How are we going to fool him? If he touches me," look at that. He said, my father peradventure will feel me and shall see, and I shall seem to be him as a deceiver." Seem? He is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. And he said, "I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." He said, "My daddy finds out what I've done, he's going to curse me. He's not going to bless me."
He said, how can I, who am a deceiver? I identify with Jacob. You know, this fact of being smooth, in our generation, that's what these young guys want. They want to be smooth.
In that day, it was a curse. You remember what they did to the leper? What's the first thing they did to the leper? They shaved him. It was a sign of a curse. Jacob was a smooth man. It was a sign of a curse.
And if he goes in there smooth, guess what?
If he rejected.
You see, you and I are like Jacob. We're a deceiver. We're smooth. This means this: we're without righteousness. How are we going to be accepted? Peradventure, he feel me, and he'll curse me. How can I be accepted by a sacrifice of another? How can I be really unjust, really guilty, and be justified before a holy God? Notice the answer of Rebekah are truly the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. "And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son."
If this don't work, let me bear the blame. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what the surety says? If my sacrifice and my offering and my righteousness are not sufficient, what does he say? Let me bear the blame. That's what a surety does. So what is Rebekah doing? She's being surety for this.
She said, "Let that curse be on me." And so see that God is not unjust then to pardon his people. His justice was not set aside or put off in order to show mercy unto Jacob. In fact, his justice was satisfied. For the curse of our sins was charged to Christ. Was he not made a curse? He was. He was made a curse. Scripture says that God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? So that we might be accepted, that we might be righteous. And so see the difference. Esau here,
now in these types, you've got to understand, Esau is a picture of Christ in this. I don't have time to go into a lot of that, but he's a picture of Christ. He's the one accepted. He's the only one Isaac would accept. Guess what? Who is the only one God would accept? His son, Jesus Christ. And so here Isaac is a picture of, Esau is a picture of Christ in this, that he is full of righteousness. We are empty of righteousness. We are smooth, full of shame, but he is perfect. This then is the picture of the purpose then of the second goat. The second goat was purposed in this, that he should cover his skin. Look at this. Go back to your text. His verse 14. His mother said, "Upon me be thy curse. Only obey my voice and go and fetch them." Go and fetch them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made the savory meat which his father loved. And Rebekah took the goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which was with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. You got that? She skinned those goats and put it on his hands and on his neck. He's walking in there with goat skins on his body, robed in his brother's best robe, taking in this offering. Behold now, in order to be blessed of Jacob, he must not only have the savory meat, but he himself must be Esau. The only way you're going to get the blessing. Therefore she put on Esau's best robe, and she attached those goat skins to his hands and to his neck. So then behold the great preparation. This is the preparation. What Christ has done for us is he's provided the two things we need. He provided an offering we needed. And he provided righteousness. He provided righteousness how? By his own obedience. In Galatians chapter 2, it says in verse 16. This is what it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. But how is a man justified? By the faith of Jesus Christ. How are you justified? By the faithfulness, by the obedience of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. For what purpose? That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. What's your faith in? My faith is in the faith of Christ. My faith is in the obedience of Christ. I believe in Christ that I might be found in the faith of Christ. You see, I want to be dressed in His robe of righteousness. When I go before God, I want to have His righteousness on. That's what we believe in Him. And so He's provided these things. Now then, thirdly, the application of this. So here now, Jacob in verse 17, she gave him the savory meat and the bread that she had prepared into his hand. Now he's all robed up. He's all robed up, ready to go in. And he comes into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, but who are you?" "That's me. I'm the father, but who are you, my son?" And Jacob said, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." Liar. You see, he was still a liar, robed in all that stuff, with all the savory meat, and guess what? He was still a liar. "I have done according to thou badest me." Liar. He didn't do anything, did he? "Arise, I pray thee. Sit up and eat my venison." What even venison was it? It was a goat. "That thy soul may bless me. Sinner, let us see that if we should ever be loved and blessed of the Father, we must have the offering and righteousness of Jesus Christ." Why? Because we're liars. We're sinners. We dare not go in before God as we are. We must have the offering of Christ. It must be our own. And see that we must not come in as Jacob did in deception, but rather come in honesty. And I'm going to tell you this. Every believer that comes to Christ, what Jacob lied about, we're not lying about. I am one with the Son of God. All my works, all His works are mine. So whatever He bade me to do in Christ, I have done. And we may this, thus if we are in Christ, we may expect to be blessed. Expect to be blessed. See then that Jesus was not a sacrifice in general, but rather specific one. For His specific people, for Jacob. And all who come to God by faith in Christ are Jacob. You who have come to God by Christ, you are Jacob. You are Jacob. And we are able to come because Christ is our representative who has fulfilled our righteousness. And we have become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You know, when Paul talks about marriage being a union, he said that a man should leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and these two shall be one flesh. And he said, but I speak of a mystery. I'm not really talking about marriage. I'm talking about our union with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about our union with Him. Therefore, all He has done for us in the flesh is accounted of God as our own. Believer, you know what your name is? Your name is His name. Your name is His name. Jeremiah tells us this, doesn't he? In that day, He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's His name. Doesn't that fits it? The Lord our righteousness. Well, 10 chapters over, you read this. In that day, she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, when I come to God, I don't come in my own righteousness, but only dressed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul desired? He said, I desire not to be found in my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness you want to be found in? When you come before God, whose offering are you going to bring? Yours? No, I'm bringing His. The one He prepared? I'm bringing that one. The robe He prepared? I'm bringing that one. And behold, then Isaac's question to Jacob. Look at this. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Isn't that a good question for you? How in the world did you find righteousness so fast? How in the world you found a sacrifice so quickly? Jacob's answer is my answer. Look at that. Because the Lord God brought it to me. Isn't that your confession? How is it that you are now made righteous? How is it that you, who are really Jacob, are now Esau? The Lord did it. Isn't it a miracle? The Lord did it. The Lord had brought it to me. This is the experience of grace to every elect child. And behold, what great things God has done to make us acceptable, to be able to receive the blessing. You see, we did not seek God, He sought us. We did not find God, He found us. His Holy Spirit came in power and conviction of our sin, showed us our need of Christ, and by the power and grace of God, He created in us a new nature, even as God purposed from eternity.
that we should bear the righteous and holy image of the firstborn. You see, Jacob was pretending to be Esau. I'm not pretending. Why? Because God has made in us the image of His Son. He has made us. Isn't that His purpose? Wasn't that His purpose? Romans chapter 8. It says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to what? The image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So what does He do when He saves a man? He conforms him to the image of Christ. Listen to me. I am not conforming me to the image of Christ. That's what religion will tell you. You've got to conform yourself to the image of Christ. Now listen, there are times that I may act more like a Christian than others. That doesn't conform me or unconform me. I should seek to always put forth the very image that He has given me. I should, in my conduct. But my conduct does not create the image. It was a work of God in us that creates that holy image. Paul says that we are created after God in true holiness. You see, it's God that purposed that we should be in that image. And by the power of the Spirit, He gives us that in the new birth. The very image of Christ, the firstborn. Where then is boasting? What did Jacob have to bring to be accepted? What did he bring? What was his own? The only thing Jacob had was sin. That was all he had. He was the deceiver. God purposed that he received the blessing. It was his mother that made all the stuff. His mother put on the skins. His mother put on the thing, put on the robe on it. He didn't do a thing. Isn't that say true with us? What did we do? Nothing. What did we bring? Nothing. God purposed we should be blessed, and Christ provided all that we needed to be blessed, and it is the Spirit of God that applied all that we needed to be blessed. It's the Spirit of God that done it. Therefore, the Father says to us, who would come to Him in Christ. Verse 21. And Jacob and Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my son Esau or not." Can you imagine Jacob's a little trembled in his boots at this point? So far, so good. Wait a second. Is my goat skin on right? You'll get that mustache and it slips off, a fake mustache. I bet he's shaking in his boots at this point. And he said, "Look, you come near. I'm going to make sure that you are my real son and not a fake." All faith must be tried and tested to see if it's real. God cannot and will not bless a false son, but will by searching and divine inspection see the truth. For God only desires and is pleased in Christ His Son. That is the only one He's pleased with, is His Son. That's the only one Isaac wanted to see was His Son, was Esau. The only one God wants to see is His Son. The only one God would accept is His Son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice he didn't say with whom, but he says in whom. So then, unless you have been washed in the blood of Christ and robed in His righteousness, unless you are made by the Spirit of God to be one with Him, you will never be accepted. But see that all who believe in Christ, we believe because we are in union with Christ. I like the way he said this in Galatians. He says this, "Because you are sons of God."
are you in Christ? Because you are sons. See, you were sons long before you knew you were sons. And the evidence of your sonship is this: faith in Christ. Now, faith didn't make you sons. Faith is evidence that you're sons. We believe because we are sons, because we are in union with Christ. Therefore, we who come to God, we draw near, seek only to be robed in His righteousness and made one with Christ in the new creation, in which He imparts to us His righteousness. He says, the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22, I believe. The righteousness of God, how is it merited? By the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, notice these two words: unto all and upon all. Why did he say that? Why didn't he just say unto all? Why didn't he just say unto all or upon all? Why use the two words? Because it's necessary to understand. This is both charged to us, imputed to us, and imparted to us. This righteousness that He made. Now listen, you can't charge somebody with righteousness unless they're actually righteous. God's not pretending, is He? He's not make-believe. Eric, I'm just going to charge you with righteousness. I'm not really worried if you are. Okay? I'm just going to charge it to you. Well, that's not just. You can't charge me with something I don't have. So what does He do? He charges us with it, and by the grace and power of God, He does impart it to us. Where? In the new nature. In the new nature. Therefore, when we approach unto God, we are seen as we are in Christ. As we therefore let us draw near to God with a heart of full assurance, because Christ with His blood has redeemed our sin and by His grace and power given us a new and holy nature. John says this, 1 John 4:17, he says this: herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's good. I need boldness in that day of judgment when He comes back. But I also want you to know this: you have boldness now. You have boldness now to approach unto God. How do we have such boldness? Seeing our sin, our troubles, and our unbelief. We have all these things still. How then may we have boldness? Because John says, as He is. How is He? How is Jesus? Well, He's glorified. He's righteous. He's accepted with God. As He is, so are we. When? In this present world. As He is, so are we in this present world. The very righteousness of Christ is given to us in the inner man. That's how John could say, he that hath the seed of God sinneth not. But notice there's something different about this to Isaac. Look at verse 22 now. And Jacob went near unto his father, and he felt him, and said this: the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's. So he blessed him. Behold, in this we see the two natures of every believer. The voice is still Jacob's. When you pray, do you sound like Christ? No. Christ never said this: forgive me, O
of my sins.
He never cried for forgiveness. Why? Because he had no sin.
We cry for pardon and peace with God. We cry because our faith is weak. Our love is small. Our sins are great. We sound like Jacob. Still. You see, I have the blood of Christ that cleanseth me from all my sins. I have the righteousness of Christ now given to me in the inner man. Yet I still have what? I still have that old man, Jacob, about my neck. We still have this old corpse, this body of death rotting about our neck. Yet even in spite of Jacob's voice, in spite of our murmuring, in spite of our sins, in spite of our deceptions and failings in the flesh, yet God will bless us because the hands are Christ's. Now look at this. That's mine. That's mine. My arm. It's my flesh. But I know this. I am so in union with Christ that all the works of His hands are mine. All His offering that He made is mine. That's why I'm going to be blessed, because of His work. Because He purposed me to have the blessing, because He prepared the blessing, and because He applied the blessing, guess what? I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed. So then the question is this: are you His very son? Look at that in verse 24. He says, "Art thou my very son, Esau?" And he said, "I am." Are you in union with Christ? Are you His real son? Because only those in union with Christ are His real sons. Do you come only always with the voice of Jacob, confessing your sin and need of Christ, and yet by faith know this: I am in union with Christ. I am one with Christ. I know this: the covenant promises are mine because God purposed them for me. I know that everything that I needed, Christ prepared, and everything that Christ prepared, the Spirit has applied, and therefore all the blessings of God that are in Christ are ours. Listen to what Christ said: "It is your Father's good pleasure." You know He's happy to give you the kingdom? When I hear that, I'm always surprised. I'm always surprised. But why should I be surprised? If I'm one with Christ, doesn't He deserve the kingdom? And if He does, so do I. So do I. And so in verse 26, Isaac said, "Come near now, kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed." You know, every time that I approach unto God and He kisses me, He smells me, you know what He smells? He smells Christ. He smells Christ. Isn't it a miracle? I tell you, it goes against every sense of my natural being that's true. When I look in the mirror, I don't see any of that. You watch me a minute, you won't see any of it either. I know this is true by believing in Christ, by trusting Him. I know it is true. Therefore, the scripture, I love this scripture, and I'll close with this, Jeremiah 50. So when he comes and he smells us, what does he smell? Does he smell sin? That's what I smell. That's not what he smells. Look at this, Isaiah 50 and verse 20. In those days and at that time saith the Lord. Who's doing the inspecting? The Lord. What does the Lord say? The iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. Why? For I will pardon them whom I have reserved. Everyone I purpose to give this blessing to, everyone that I prepare this blessing for, I'm going to make them acceptable. I'm going to wash their sins in the blood of my Son, and I am going to clothe them in His righteousness and clothe them in His very skin so that I can't tell the difference between them and Him. Isn't that what you want? You want any part of your smell to go up to the nostrils of God? Anything you've done, you want to make yourself accepted? Not me. And so, in this deception, I say they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm thankful for this picture. I'm thankful that God has purposed my acceptance, provided my acceptance, and then made me acceptable. And then He gives that blessing. And I don't have time to go with blessing. It's a beautiful blessing, a promise of the Holy Spirit, a promise of forgiveness of sin, promise of victory, conquest, and of heaven itself. All those promises are ours because of our union with Him. I pray God will bless us too. Just stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your great blessings that You've purposed, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm so thankful You put us in Christ. There'd been no hope for us. We would have all been as Sodom and likened to Gomorrah had You not made choice and loved us according to Your mercies. Thank You for the provisions You have made in Christ by His offering and by His righteousness. Thank You that You have taken these things and now applied them to us that we may be accepted. And now the blessings of Christ are given to us. Fill our hearts with song and praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.